This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
One hour down, we're talking playoff baseball with a quadruple header on Wednesday and still three series very much alive. You've got both the Yankees and the Tigers on the cusp of winning their American League Division Series, where we've got a game five, at least one already dialed up, coming from the National League with the division rival Dodgers and Padres. And we've seen a little bit of everything in that series. The pendulum swinging back and forth. The Dodgers won a close one, had to rally from three runs down in the opener in their own stadium. They come back and they win that game last Saturday night, I guess it was. And then the Padres have six home runs in game two and blow out the Dodgers and their pitching, including Jack Flaherty. Then they go to a game three. Padres take the edge, once again able to get a big inning, six runs in the second of game three, and the Dodgers not able to muster enough to come all the way back. But now San Diego hasn't scored since the second inning of game three. They get shut out in a lopsided affair on Wednesday night. So we won't get that game five until Friday, and we'll see what happens with the ALDS and their game fours, which come up on Thursday. Also looking ahead to week six in the NFL. And we have a question for tonight's show, which I am going to throw out there. And if we don't end up getting a lot of response because of what's happening with Florida, then I certainly understand. But want to ask you, where do you see the top three and worst three quarterback situations in the NFL? Now, don't consider just quarterbacks, okay? Because you can have a terrific quarterback who's behind a brutal offensive line or who has no receivers or who has no run game and it becomes very one-dimensional. Think Ben Roethlisberger at the end of his career, where they weren't running the ball and the O-line was pretty rough and he was passing it 87 times a game. That's not a good situation. So where are the top three and the worst three quarterback situations in the NFL? And all you need to do is look for T.O. on our show Twix at Amy After Hours. I'll put a post up on Facebook as well when I have an opportunity. And our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Glad to have you with us here on our Wednesday night edition of the show. And we're always pleased to have Mark Ross, who's an NFL Network analyst, former executive vice president and scout in the front offices for the Giants, among other teams, a Super Bowl champion, and now part of NFL Game Day on NFL Network, which I really enjoy on Sundays. Mark, we're seeing an astounding change with the Jets organization just 5 weeks into their season. They end up getting rid of Robert Saleh, and by all accounts, the locker room is shocked by this change that's coming from the top with Woody Johnson. Yet, what does this do to a locker room? What impact does it have on a team when a coach is fired like this?
Yeah, you know, I've been a part of some firings, but postseason, you know, not during the season, especially not this early, but it definitely was a surprise to me. You know, I thought it might be later on, or of course at the end of the year if the Jets didn't play well. But it just seemed all along that he was going to get used as a scapegoat. If the season didn't go well, it wouldn't be blamed on Aaron Rodgers. And you know, for the players, I'm sure they probably, not probably, but they definitely noticed and felt if there was tension in the building between Aaron Rodgers and Robert Saleh and the coaching staff and what Aaron Rodgers wants to do and what Robert Saleh wanted to do. So I think that definitely was noticed by the players, felt by the players, and for the way that the decision that came down, the more the information that's coming out about what happened and how it happened. You know, for the Jets, it's just a continual progression of just what they do and the turnover that they've had. You know, Woody Johnson said he hasn't fired a coach in the season, but okay, well, this is you're going on what, your fifth coach in 10 years, 11 years or something. So, you know, the chaos and the lack of stability is just not helpful for anybody, not the way to win.
You had written a column about a bunch of players who were slow in starting the NFL season, Aaron Rodgers being one of those. He had a 3-interception game in London. The offense has been pretty brutal the last couple of games. What are you seeing with him and with that Jets offense?
Yeah, I wrote that article, then he delivered for me with 3 picks a couple days later. And in the article, the first thing I said was I was skeptical about him. Not this year, but last year I was skeptical about a 39-year-old player who had been on the downside. And I was even certainly much, much more skeptical coming into this season with a 40-year-old guy coming off of an Achilles. It's never been done. It would have been a historic accomplishment for him to play at a high level. And I had seen, and I've been saying it for the last couple of years, that Aaron Rodgers had been playing well. And I've been scouted for 20-plus years, and when players start to decline, and especially quarterbacks, when they get older, father time is undefeated. I never saw a player get better. I'm just going off the history of thousands and thousands of players that I've been around and seen. So I didn't feel as if there was hope for Aaron Rodgers getting better from what I had seen on the field. And when quarterbacks get older, they don't, and the things that made Aaron Rodgers special was what, hanging around in the pocket when things broke down, I'm going to work magic and get out of there and start making things happen. And he just doesn't do that anymore. He doesn't have the ability to do that anymore. Also, older quarterbacks, they don't like the rush. They don't like stuff in their face. They just, they've taken enough hits and they don't like it. And you saw that the last few years, even with him in Green Bay, where he just didn't like it. And getting the ball out as quickly as possible to avoid hits and go at your first read. And I had seen it enough with quarterbacks and older quarterbacks that they just try to get it out as quickly as possible. And that's what you see with their offense this year. And then also, he's injured and he can't move around. And I had seen that as well at Green Bay, where he didn't move around as well to make plays, which made him special. And he can't do that anymore. So with those two things, we can go through other things, but just those two major, major factors right there, where stuff is in my face, I can't deal with it, I can't get out of pressure, and I can't make plays anymore like I used to. That's why you're seeing a diminished Aaron Rodgers and a diminished Jets offense.
I'm a little surprised that the run game hasn't been more consistent for New York, but what's the solution in order to cover up some of the losses to his skills at the age of 40?
Well, keep looking at games like you just saw the other day. The majority of the times when we talk about things being fixed, well, sometimes things just can't be fixed. And there's no answers. And that's why there's teams that make the playoffs, and there's going to be a bunch of teams that don't, and there's going to be a bunch of bad teams. If every team could fix their problems, they'd all have winning records and they'd make the playoffs. But there's a hierarchy of here's the really good teams, here's the mediocre teams, and here's the bad teams. And some teams can't straighten it out. When you look at the Jets offense, number one, you know, you've got a quarterback who's bottom tier, not playing well. Then you've got an offensive line who's not good either. And then you look at the skill players outside of Garrett Wilson, they don't have much there. And I know Woody Johnson said this is the most talented team he's had since he's been there. But when I look at that offense, it's just not a ton of talent. You know, they bet a lot on old linemen to come in there, Tyron Smith and Morgan Moses to help out. And it was just a lot of a high risk, somewhat minimum reward for a lot of the players that they brought in there. So there's just a lot of fundamental problems that they have there at that offense.
Mark Ross is with us from NFL Network, an analyst that you'll see on game day coming up on Sunday, week 6 already. Wow. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I like the foresight in your column because you also talked about Drake May, admitting that it was a little bit of an unconventional guy to include, but he didn't play for the first 5 weeks for the Patriots. We now know they're going to him in week 6. I'll admit I'm a little worried about the young guy behind that offensive line, but what do you see?
I went to the Patriots camp during training camp, and the staff was all in on, we're going to play Jacoby Brissett. We're going to run the football. We're going to play tough D. You know, everybody, the personnel staff, the coaches, like, okay, that's well and good, but all right, when you start losing games and you don't look good, then what are you going to do? And you've got this player, this quarterback, who's you took up there for a reason, and everyone was excited about for a reason, and didn't trade out of there and took him for a reason. You know, it's only a matter of time before you had to get him on the field. And as bad as that Patriots offense is, it's like, all right, what are you going to do? Keep putting Jacoby Brissett out there and scoring 8 points a game and everybody's miserable and there's no hope? That's not a strategy. You can't just keep doing that. All right, people are worried about Drake May, but you know what? You might have a C.J. Stroud situation. Last year when C.J. Stroud started that season, there was not one person that thought that C.J. Stroud would do what he did and were worried about the personnel he had around him with the Texans. So if you never played C.J. Stroud, you wouldn't know you had C.J. Stroud. And so it's the same thing with Drake May. If you're worried about him, but maybe he is a revelation and he raises the level of everyone else around him. He makes the offensive line better because the sacks that Jacoby Brissett took, Drake May maybe can work his magic and escape the pocket and make plays on the move. And that's the element of a franchise quarterbacks who turn out to be great, is that they can take that. They can take the adversity. They can take the punishment. They can take the up and down and still come out better for it on the other end. And if you don't play him, you just don't know if you have that. So, you know, the concern of him getting beat up, well, if he's the guy and he's resilient and he's tough, he'll make it out better on that end of it. And if he's the man and he's a revelation like C.J. Stroud was last year, then you're super happy for it.
Well, what about in Washington, where the number 2 overall pick, Jaden Daniels, has been supremely accurate to start the season? They've won 4 in a row. It's kind of like they think they've got the next year's version of C.J. Stroud.
Well, they got him. There's no guesswork in that. I mean, he looks like a star already. I love Jaden coming out. I thought it was razor thin between he and Caleb for that first pick. I thought, you know, both of those guys were destined to be stars in this league. And Caleb started slow, and he's showing you that he's going to be right there too. But Jaden really jumped out there, you know, pretty much game two and just taking the league by storm with the things he showed at LSU. You know, as a scout, I always go back to that. You always want to see the elements of what you saw as a player in college that transfers to the NFL. Like, those are the things. And what you saw in Jaden Daniels at LSU, you're seeing those things now. The poise, the playmaking, the vision, the confidence, the leadership, the dual threat, you know, the most explosive runner since Lamar coming out. So you're seeing all those things. And he's, again, talked about Drake May being a revelation. Jaden Daniels changed that entire franchise just by being him. They had a nice infrastructure around him, but he's raised the level of everybody in that D.C. area. You know, the team, of course, you know, he just raises everything. And where we're talking about, okay, Washington may be a, you know, good team, scrappy and all, now you're talking about, man, they're probably the best team in the NFC East and looking like one of the best teams in the NFC. And this will continue. This is not a fluke. It'll continue for Jaden Daniels.
Mark Ross is with us from NFL Network. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So the Commanders are 4-1, Texans are 4-1. One of the great surprises to start the season, the Vikings at 5-0. And I know a lot is made of Sam Darnold, but what stands out to you about this team, the only one in the NFC that hasn't lost yet?
Yeah, that the Vikings, of course, are the surprise of the year so far. And I that was another team I covered during training camp, and I was there, and all the talk was about J.J. McCarthy and, you know, of course, taking him, and rightfully so. But we had interviewed Kevin O'Connell and the GM, Kwesi Adolfo-Mensah, and both expressed extreme confidence in Sam Darnold. And it was one of those things like, okay, sure. But everything they expressed their confidence in him. He's shown and has lived up to that and has played better than he's played in his career. So he's been rewarding them for that confidence. But the thing that really stands out is the defense. With Brian Flores adoring with that defense and, you know, just really crushing it. And even last week in that game where he kept them in there, where he almost fell apart but made the plays at the end. And Sam Darnold did not, and the offense did not play their best. But, you know, game in and game out, you know, Brian Flores and that defense, except for that second half of that Green Bay game, have really been taking control of games. But with that combination, when you've got a D playing at that level and you've got offensive playmakers and a quarterback who's resurgent, you know, they look legit.
Yes, I love the stories always early in the season where you've got teams that surprise people, never expected the Vikings to do what they're doing. Why can it happen that way in that people don't see it coming, Mark?
You know, you kind of focus on a lot of somewhat more of the glamorous themes, and you discount some of the other storylines of a Sam Darnold, you know, and I would be guilty of that too if coming into the season as Sam Darnold's going to be the starting quarterback. I said, like, okay, well, the Vikings will be 2-3 right now, or 1-4. So I think, number one, you start with the quarterbacks and, you know, the hope that you have there. And when you have sort of a journeyman type like Sam Darnold, you get surprised. Last year it was a Baker Mayfield, you know, coming into the mix, or like nobody was counting on the Bucks, and then Baker starts playing well. So I think those are really the teams that surprise you, are the ones where they may have a quarterback who either is young and takes a step forward really fast. I mentioned CJ Stroud and the Texans, something like that, or a quarterback like a Sam Darnold or a Baker Mayfield who come out of the shadows and play better than what they've played.
On the other end of the spectrum, there are a couple of teams that have really struggled first 5 weeks. Maybe we knew the Patriots were in rebuild mode and the Panthers still have a lot of questions to answer. But there are a couple of other 1-4 teams like the Bengals, the Jaguars finally getting a win. Those are a couple that surprised me. What's your reaction to their slow starts?
Yeah, the Bengals, you know, historically start slow with Joe Burrow. I think he was 1-4 in opening games, but you thought, okay, after 2 or 3, he'll be back in the mix. He'll be okay. And, you know, the way their offense is playing, you know, that game last week was the game of the year against Baltimore, but their defense really has been the surprise of they just can't stop anybody. That's what's holding them back. And with the offense, you're thinking, yep, the Bengals and the D has shown that they can be competitive and play really well. But that's what's really letting them down right now. You know, Jacksonville, you're thinking, okay, what Trevor Lawrence are we going to get? And for the first 4 games, it was, oh, man, this is the bad Trevor Lawrence. There's no confidence in this team. And, you know, was that a get-right game last week against the Colts with finally putting together an offensive explosion? So, you know, this week will be a huge one for them against the Bears in London to see what the Bears defense may be the best D they've played this year. But this will be a huge one to see if they can bounce back and get back in the win column.
Man, 5 weeks in and still so many questions. Mark Ross of NFL Network, he's a game day analyst. See him on Sundays during the broadcast of all these games and the different stories as they play out on the field. Mark, I got to ask you about the Chiefs, of course, but it seems like they are impenetrable no matter what happens to them. And some of the upcoming Game 6 matchups, need your opinion about those as well. So quick break at A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. It's After Hours with Amy Lauren.
Off the field, on the money, and After Hours, it's time to talk football with Amy Lawrence.
That's me, along with Mark Ross of NFL Network. Glad to have him with us. Looking forward to another edition of NFL Game Day on Sunday on the network. And in addition, you've got the NFL Network broadcast of Jaguars and Bears Sunday morning, 9:30 Eastern, that's 6:30 Pacific from London. Second of 3 consecutive weeks starting off the game day slate in London. All right, Mark, we talked about the Vikings being 5-0 and what a great surprise that is. I'm not sure anybody's surprised by the Chiefs being 5-0, but the way that they do it to me is always so astounding. They change these pieces around Patrick Mahomes year after year, and yet still, I know the defense is a big part of it, but goodness, are they just impervious now to changes around this quarterback because of he and Andy Reid and that glue that keeps everybody together?
They're the new Patriots. They're the new, not the new Patriots. Let me just say they're the new Tom Brady. When the Patriots were on their run and Brady was doing his thing and, it, you know, throughout the talk, well, would the Patriots do it this way? Well, no, they're different. You can't compare any other team to what Tom Brady was doing because he's the GOAT and they're just different. And it's the same thing with Kansas City where what they do, what Mahomes does, what Andy Reid does, it's just different than what everybody else can do. And no one else can get away with what they do because of that shows you the greatness of Patrick Mahomes and the greatness of Andy Reid. And, okay, Patrick, okay, you lost your top three, whatever. Just, you know, put these guys in here and go. And, you know, there's a cast-off he's playing with, and they look like they're playing better than they've ever played. But that's I talked about earlier about quarterbacks raising the level of people around them. And that's what Patrick Mahomes does more than anybody, where he just raises the level of whoever plays with him. You can't replicate that. You can't duplicate it. You can't do it like we can do it like them. Just put them somewhere else. Everyone else could compete to see if you can knock them off. But until then, they're in their whole different stratosphere.
What are a couple of the matchups that we've got ahead on the schedule, Mark, that kind of stand out to you that are good gauges for teams now?
I mean, the game of the week is this Baltimore-Washington game. We talked about Jaden Daniels, but I can't wait to – I can't believe they weren't able to get that done flexing that in the prime time because you've got Lamar playing at the MVP level once again, and it's incredible. He's an underrated MVP. The guy's playing better than he's ever played, and you see all these MVP odds, and he says, what is anybody watching? But, you know, Jaden Daniels and see – you know, the ascension that he can make if he can topple that. And then, of course, Monday night to see that Buffalo Jets game, especially it being in MetLife Stadium, the crowd reaction. I mean, that'll just be super fun, super crazy to see how that thing goes down. There's a lot of prove it stuff. With Philly coming back against Cleveland, talk radio about the Eagles fans going crazy. If they lose to Cleveland, that bad Cleveland team, that'll just be the disaster here in this area. That Tampa-New Orleans game is very intriguing as well. So a lot of good, fun games. Detroit-Dallas didn't even get to that one. You know, that's another huge one to see. Dallas squeaks one out. Detroit puts on an offensive clinic last week down there in Dallas to see how that one turns out with two teams that think they really have contention in the future.
Is it time to worry about the San Francisco 49ers? Because they start out at Seattle this week.
I was on air yesterday. We had a segment about the 49ers. And what's worry? Is worry that they can be a legit Super Bowl contender? Yes. Serious worry that they can win the West and be in the playoffs? No. I think they still have enough, despite all of the injuries and turmoil there. It's, you know, the contract situations that they've had to deal with. You know, that's a lot. They've had to deal with a lot. And, you know, that curse of losing in the Super Bowl for teams is striking once again where you're just not at that level. And because teams change every year, it's never the same. And the Christian McCaffrey injury is huge, but they still have tons of playmakers. They still have tons of talent on that team that they should be able to win their division still get in the playoffs. And if things go right, you know, break right, they can make a little run. But yes, there is worry that if they are a legit serious Super Bowl contender, but they'll still be in the mix.
Do you think that same type of frenzy in the offseason, preseason training camp applies to the Cowboys as well, considering that they're also still in this weird space where we're...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Not seeing a lot of forward momentum.
Well, San Fran, they've been in the NFC Championship game a bunch. They've been to the Super Bowl, you know, a couple times in the last X amount of years. So
Right. They've
done it. You know, they just haven't won the whole thing, but they've gotten damn close, you know, a lot. And they've been in the mix, whereas Dallas has not. You know, that's the difference where San Fran's their standard is Super Bowl and being, you know, winning it because they've been so close, where Dallas's standard is just trying to win a playoff game. So that's the difference in the two organizations. And Dallas has just been eternally a disappointment for the last 20, 30 years, whatever it's been since they last made it to the NFC Championship game. And, you know, all of the issues that they have had, starting with the contract distractions and lack of talent in the backfield. And, you know, now Micah's hurt and Dexter Lawrence is hurt. I mean, Lawrence is hurt and, you know, Marcus Lawrence is hurt. So it's just been a lot for them to overcome. And this is where Dak has to show. I keep saying it with quarterbacks. Can he take his game to another level? Can he raise everybody up? And up to this point, he has not shown he can do that. Can he do it? And that's really what you'll look for with the Cowboys the rest of the way.
All right, Mark, I'll ask you one more panic because I like this theme. It's kind of sad. We're preying on the panic of fan bases around the country. The Cleveland Browns, you mentioned, they're terrible. They're 1-4. And the Deshaun Watson question, people have been expecting this going back to the guaranteed contract. But the defense is also not playing well. What do you do at this point with the Browns?
Number one, you got to play Jameis Winston. You just have to, you know, for the psyche of everybody in that organization. I of course, on public record, the head coach, yeah, everybody said, yeah, we believe in Deshaun still, but I guarantee you there's not one person who thinks that guy can play anymore. And when you look week after week after week and you just see how abysmal he is as a player, you know, if his name was anything else and he didn't have that contract, there'd be no way he'd still be a starting quarterback in the NFL. And I just think when you know that as a team and you're going in, players are smart. They know. And when you're watching film every week and you're going through those games, that those guys probably just are looking like, what is going on here? This guy is killing us. And it's really his malpractice for an organization to keep trotting him out there because, I mean, he is beyond, at this point, really the worst quarterback in the league. And, I think just Jameis, for better or for worse, he's the answer. Of course not, but at least Jameis has shown throughout his career that hey, he can put points up in the board. You know, he can move the ball. He can be streaky, and it seems as if he's got a lot more leadership quality to him there. So I think that Deshaun Watson situation may be the worst trade in the history of sports, and it's just coming back to haunt them still, and it's going to keep haunting them. But for the sake of the psyche of the franchise, the organization, that city, they just can't keep trotting him out there as a starter.
Crazy enough, though, that may have spared Nick Caserio in Houston. Pulling off that trade all of a sudden changed the perspective of so many people around his management and his decisions in the front office.
No question. Yeah, no question.
That's how quickly it happens, right? It's a precarious territory in the NFL, and Mark Ross knows because he was in player evaluation and scouting for front offices for years, including the Giants, so a Super Bowl champion with them. Now NFL Network analyst. Oh, and the pride of Princeton.
Yeah, we look good. At black and orange, we look good. And, you know, talk about it. Every week my highlight is to see if my guy Andre Yoshivas from the Bengals, he's a receiver for the Bengals, he gets a big catch or a touchdown. So when I do the game day live, hopefully always get the Bengals highlights and hopefully he gets a big catch.
Yes, you can find Mark online at Mark with a C, Ross, and catch him this weekend on NFL Network Game Day, which is where I see him on Sundays. It's always good to catch up with you, Mark. Thank you so much for a few minutes.
My pleasure. Anytime.
Strong words from Mark Ross, but I appreciate his scouting background and how he evaluates players. That is his history. 2+ decades of player evaluation. And he doesn't pull punches when he talks about the Jets and Aaron Rodgers, when he talks about why throw Drake May out in place of Jacoby Brissett, and then when he talks about teams like the Cowboys, but also the Browns and their quarterback situation. And on the heels of that, we're asking you, where do you see the top three and worst three quarterback situations in the NFL? Now, this is not just quarterbacks. This is the situation altogether. Is it coaching? Potentially, is it an offensive line? Is it lack of weapons? Is it injuries? I love to spring these things on Marco Belletti. Want to take a stab at it? Top three, worst three quarterback situations. Not just the man himself, but, you know, big picture. Whole perspective.
Not even close. The first one that comes to mind is the Browns. Because you have so much money tied into Deshaun Watson, who looks cooked. So that's the situation. I mean, they're a mess because they can't pull the plug because they're afraid because they've got all this money. And then what do you do? And it's just that's a disaster written all over it. I mean,
and
that's
the
just
O-line
an absolute,
is a mess right now.
Yeah, even still, though, that to me, just watching Deshaun Watson play, something is amiss. And it's I don't know if it's the shoulder injury that, you know, even the lack of playing time, like, he can't read a defense, and he used to be able to do that. And that's something to me that you could be 85 on the couch going, I can read. I can't do it, but I can read it. And Deshaun Watson can't do that anymore. So there's something that's completely amiss, and that's just a flat-out total disaster. So Cleveland is by far number one, top of the list for that for me.
For worst.
I'm not a big fan of Will Levis, so the Titans situation to me is a bit of a mess.
That's tough. Because who do they have behind him?
Nothing. No, they have no quarterback. And that's all. Look, I'd rather be in that situation when I'm not sure if I have my quarterback. I always kind of joke, like, I'd rather be in the Jamarcus Russell, I know this doesn't work, as opposed to Jameis Winston 5 years later. Is it? It maybe kind of like that's worse. That's worse to me. But the Titans just have nowhere to go. They're just kind of in complete and total no man's land. So that's not a good situation for me. The third one is probably Carolina, because simply that you thought this was your future. That doesn't look right. I don't know what the rest of this is. Do we go back to it? Are we going to have to change coaches again? That whole organization is a bit of a mess for me. So the quarterback's wrapped up into that because too many picks gone, so it's not as easy as, oh, we'll just get the next one. You took a shot at this one, and I don't know if Bryce Young can be salvaged. It's possible, but it's unlikely and more unlikely that it would be salvaged in Carolina.
I think two that I would put in the bottom three would be Miami. I love Tua, but he's determined to come back, and that's great, but that makes me nervous. That makes people nervous, and right now, They're also missing Skylar Thompson. Not that Tyler Huntley is a sham, but it's not going to
or a bust.
Yeah, it's not going to do. It's not going to be the answer to accomplish what they want to accomplish, and it could be until the last month of the season before we see Tua. And as you can see, their entire offense is built around him. And then another one that I might put in the category now is the Saints, who are turning to Spencer Rattler because they're going to be without Derek Carr. So they've got no veteran option unless they want to use Taysom Hill. But I'm not even sure he's healthy right now, and they've never wanted to use him at quarterback anyway. So those are a couple more that I might put in that same situation.
The hope there for New Orleans is that this is not going to be long for Derek Carr. So, you know, that's kind of a short-term type of thing. And Hill he's not a quarterback. I mean, he's a gimmick. I'm sorry. If they really they truly thought that he was a quarterback, that he would have been part of they didn't even look at that situation when they were on the open market to get Derek Carr. They didn't even blink and look at Taysom Hill as even an option. So, no, you don't believe that he's a quarterback, why the hell should I believe he's a quarterback? So I don't buy that at all. He could come in, he could run a few packages, he could do a few things. He's not the answer. That's the hope that Derek Carr is back within a week or two, and they can, again, do what they are, which is a middling team that maybe can sneak a playoff berth.
Okay, so top three, throw them out there, Marco.
Again, the Browns, number one.
Top three.
Oh, the best
quarterback. Those were your worst three.
The best quarterback situations? I mean,
yeah.
The Chiefs. One, two, and three.
The Chiefs are sitting pretty, that's for sure.
I think to me it's the three best quarterbacks. It's the Chiefs with Mahomes, it's the Bills with Allen, and it's Joe Burrow with the Bengals. I know the Bengals right now situation is not good, but I have no questions about Joe Burrow. None. Zero. So, yeah, it could be a wasted year, and that's always difficult when your window for a championship can grow smaller and smaller. But to me, as long as you have Joe Burrow, your window was wide open. You could figure everything else out.
I would have said or considered Brock Purdy in that equation, except that without Christian McCaffrey, they're not the same. It's, I mean, he needs CMC in the backfield. Though he's playing, I mean, he's using his legs a little more. He's not playing great.
He's fine. They're not playing great. But he's not, to me, like, he's just not on that level. He's not.
Well, no, we're talking about situations, like package deal, considered everything. Kyle Shanahan's terrific, and so that helps,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that definitely helps.
Yeah. Anyway, all of Marco's top three came from the AFC, which I think is interesting. So what are your top three and worst three quarterback situations? That being the key word, it's everything, not just the dude, not just the man. At Amy After Hours, I did put a post up on Facebook as well, 855-212-4227, because we're obsessed with our quarterbacks. Why not? Here's our latest sports update, and here's Marco.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
Oh, and their backs firmly up against the wall, but the Dodgers able to respond in a big way.
Now Peralta, the former Yankee, kicks and fires. Lux attacks the first pitch, drives the ball right field and deep. Tatis at the wall. It's out of here! Gavin Lux ambushes Wandy Peralta. Tack two more on the board. It's now 8-0 Dodgers.
Gavin Lux, Will Smith, Mookie Betts, they all went deep. Dodgers silenced the Padres 8-0 behind eight different arms to force a deciding game five back in L.A., call courtesy of the Dodgers Radio Network. Elsewhere, Francisco Lindor, the go-ahead grand slam, but the Phillies had the tying run at the play of the ninth, and the former Kyle Schwarber trying to keep their season alive.
Diaz still staring in. Come set. The 1-2 pitch. Swung on and missed strike three. Put it in the books. And to the New York Mets, California, here we come.
Edwin Diaz, the saves. The Mets eliminate the Phillies 4-1 to take the series in four. Howie Rose, the call of Mets Radio Network. Giancarlo Stanton, three hits, including the go-ahead solo shot, knocked in a pair. Yankees have been the Royals 3-2 for a 2-1 series lead. And the Tigers using six pitchers to blank the Guardians 3-0. They're up 2-1 as well. Aaron Rodgers went on the Pat McAfee show, not happy with the implications. He had something to do with the firing of head coach Robert Saleh.
As far as any of the ridiculous allegations out there, I'm not going to spend more than one sentence in response to it, and that is that I resent any of those accusations because they're patently false. And it's interesting the amount of power that people think that I have, which I don't.
Elsewhere, the Saints going with rookie Spencer Rattler against the Bucs as Derek Carr week to week with an oblique injury. Raiders going Aiden O'Connell against the Steelers. Gardner Minshew heads to the bench. Meanwhile, Devontae Adams not expected to play for a third straight game due to a hamstring injury. Giants defensive end Kayvon Thibodeaux underwent wrist surgery. He's week to week. Colts not expected to have wideout Michael Pittman Jr. for multiple games with a back injury. And on the ice, Rangers rock the Penguins 6-0. Flames outlast the Canucks 6-5 in overtime. Jets 6, Edmonton nothing. Golden Knights erase the Avalanche 8-4. And Montreal blanked the Maple Leafs 1-0. I'm Marco Belletti.
The Infinity Sports Network is on your smart speaker. All you have to say is, play Infinity Sports Network. That's it. Play Infinity Sports Network.
Fly to left. Back goes Melendez on the track. He's at the wall and she's gone! A Stantonian home run. He drove a high fly deep left into the Yankee bullpen to give the Yankees a 3-2 lead. Giancarlo, no si può scopparlo. And the Yankees now take the lead with six outs to go.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
And the Yankees bullpen able to make that lead stand up, but it's Giancarlo Stanton's eighth inning home run off Bubich of the Kansas City Royals that allows them to take the edge now. And we talked about these stats on our last show. Because this game three in a tie series, it's pivotal, whether it's a five-game series or a seven-game series. And so the Yankees now have a 73% chance to win. I don't even know what that means, because if we always knew exactly how these playoff situations would play out, well, we wouldn't pay any attention. There would be no drama at all, and there's still plenty of drama. Yeah, the Royals went deep into their stable of pitchers. By the time they got to Chris Bubich, they had already had five different guys on the mound. So this was a bullpen start of sorts for them. Seth Lugo does go the first five innings, and it was a tight game. He gave up the two runs, but that still would have been a quality start had he continued through. The Royals just not able to come up with a ton of offense, though they did, in the fifth, manage a couple of runs to tie the game, and it stayed that way until Stanton went deep. And it was, man, it was a home run that was a no-doubter. And Aaron Boone is really happy with what he saw from Stanton, the way he worked that at-bat against Bubich.
I thought that at-bat off Bubich was just phenomenal. I think he went up there looking to do damage, looking to do just that. I thought laid off all the right pitches and just put a great swing on it, on what was obviously a great night for him, and including adding the stolen base for good measure.
Yeah, you don't get many stolen bases from Giancarlo Stanton, but in fact, usually that's ill-advised because he tends to pull muscles when he runs. But he's really the only guy who is notable in the lineup. He goes 3-for-5, also had an RBI double, so two of the three RBI for him, Juan Soto with the other, and that scored him. And then you get that monstrous home run. So he's actually hitting better than 300 in the playoffs, just small sample size. But considering the amount of money they're paying him and the number of games that he's missed in pinstripes because of various injuries, when he is contributing, it's a good year for the Yankees. And that's how it's been this season. Now, Aaron Judge, a lot of talk about him, 0-for-4 in this game, though he did have a rocket launch off his bat that was snagged. Who caught it? I forgot. Was it Witt who caught it? I have to remember who it was that caught the ball. If I'm thinking about the, I'll go back and I'll think about, figure it out just as I'm talking. But Judge, otherwise, there have been some missed opportunities for him. And both the Yankees and Royals had chances in this game, but the Yankees went 0-for-6 with runners in scoring position. If not for Stanton, they still don't have the offense that they need to be able to support their pitching. As for the Royals, you may remember in their wild card series in which they were able to advance, it was two huge hits from Bobby Witt that really were the catalysts and were the reasons why they were able to move forward to get to the American League Division Series. But he struggled a little bit now, batting just 182 in these playoffs. And so there are a lot of questions about him. And this happens, right? The stars, if you're not getting a hit or producing every single at-bat, there are going to be a lot of questions. And Matt Quattaro was fielding questions about Bobby.
These guys are in the position they're in for a reason. They pitch really well. The bullpen's been lights out, so he's going to get pitched tough, as we've talked about. So he's going to have to, you know, can't miss the one or two pitches that he gets.
Yeah, this is playoff baseball, like you said. You just got to go out there and now figure out what we need to do to win two games. And I believe in it. Everyone in this clubhouse, everyone does. And so that's all we got to do, is just take things one step at a time, learn from today, and move on.
So far, the bullpen for New York is the star of this series. Have not allowed a run in 13 and two-thirds innings. And as much as we've seen it as a hit-or-miss formula with the Yankees starters, to have relievers who, at this point, have not given up a run through 13 and two-thirds, that's the star. But still, looking for more from Aaron Judge. This is likely going to be the American League MVP, and his struggles in the postseason are well documented. So he's now 1-for-11 and only an infield single in these three games against the Royals. He did get on base with a walk. And actually, the Yankees have been able to work a ton of walks against the Royals. That's going to be really important for Kansas City if they want to extend this series the distance, because they've walked the Yankees 22 times in three games. So that's a big deal. The Royals, their story is incredible, as is the Tigers, and we'll talk about them next hour against the Guardians. These AL Central clubs. They've been so much fun to watch, and I love the fight in them. I do. When it comes to the Yankees, they are a team that is overwhelmingly a favorite, though they, in the postseason in recent years, have seen their offense disappear. Is that too strong of a word? They've seen their offense shrivel up and die. That's probably a little bit too snarky. I don't know what it is. But that's when you earn your money, is October. And they've just not been able to come through. So here is Stanton, but not a whole lot else from the Yankees offense. And he's thrilled, of course, with the opportunity to be in the lineup. So he's healthy and not hurt.
This is what I came here for. So, you know, not always going to be successful here. But, you know, you just got to keep working and put yourself in the best opportunity.
And as for the Royals, now they've got their backs against the wall, and it's one of those all-hands-on-deck type of nights coming up Thursday.
All hands will be on deck, right? I mean, you have to put everything out there to try to stave off elimination. But, you know, we have Waka going. We have a ton of confidence in him. So, you know, we're going to approach it like a regular game, but understand what the gravity of the situation is.
Once again, Matt Quatraro about these Royals who've been a terrific story in the playoffs for the first time since 2015. Gerrit Cole against Michael Wacha, and that's the game four still at Kauffman Stadium in Kansas City. So they'll have the massive crowd behind them. It's a doubleheader in the American League. The Tigers now have the Guardians on the ropes. AL Central coming in hot. These games are a little bit later on Thursday. So you've got the game in Detroit at Comerica with the first pitch at 6:08 Eastern time, followed by 2 hours later, the Royals hosting the Yankees, which goes up against Thursday Night Football, though that's coming from San Francisco and Seattle. It's a mixed bag on Thursday night. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it, and we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.